You know, when we talk about artificial intelligence, we tend to picture this invisible, magical thing just floating up in the cloud.
Right, like it doesn't take up actual physical space.
Exactly. But looking at the stack of sources we've got today, a really dense mix of supply chain analyses, manufacturing specs, and data center engineering white papers, our mission for this deep dive is to uncover the surprising physical reality behind the AI boom.
Yeah, it's wild when you dig into it.
It really is. We're going to show you why this digital revolution is actually a heavy industrial story grounded in sheet metal, heavy machinery, and, well, mountains of copper.
The sheer scale of it is staggering once you actually look at the power consumption data.
Just how big are we talking?
Huge. The projections show global data center electricity consumption reaching roughly 945 terawatt hours by 2030.
Wow, wait, that's double the 2024 figure, right?
Double. And it's growing four times faster than demand from literally every other sector combined.
Okay, let's unpack this for a second. All of that electricity doesn't just, hover in a room.
No, it has to power servers sitting inside physical enclosures.
Right. But when I picture a server rack, especially from a decade ago, say 2015, I'm essentially picturing a glorified filing cabinet. Like it's just a metal box with shelves. So I have to push back a little here. Why is today's AI infrastructure so vastly more complex?
Well, that filing cabinet model worked when a rack drew maybe a couple of kilowatts. Today, the average power density is hitting almost 9 kilowatts.
Oh, wow.
And the real growth is surging in the 10 to 30 kilowatt band. When you push that much power into a standard 19-inch wide frame, you generate intense heat.
So you need more cooling.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You suddenly need far more air flowing through the exact same panel area. So the perforation patterns, like the actual geometry of the holes in the metal, they become critical engineering decisions.
Because if you make the holes too big,
The rack collapses.
yeah.
You are constantly fighting a war between opening up the panel for air and keeping it structurally strong enough to stand.
So we've gone from a simple filing cabinet to something closer to, I don't know, a high-performance car engine, where you have to balance structural integrity, fluid dynamics, and thermodynamics in this tiny footprint.
That is a great way to look at it, especially since air alone isn't even enough anymore.
Right, the liquid cooling.
Yeah, direct-to-chip liquid cooling is becoming standard, which requires entirely new sheet metal features. You suddenly need manifold cutouts, drip management
Leak
systems.
detection routing, right, I saw that in the specs.
Exactly, and sealed pass-throughs.
With all this fluid dynamics hardware and reinforced metal for airflow, these racks must be incredibly heavy by the time they are fully loaded.
Oh, they are massive.
Yeah.
These units don't ship empty to be assembled on site anymore.
Oh, they don't.
No, they ship fully pre-populated, often weighing over 10,000 pounds.
10,000 pounds.
Yeah. Frame stiffness and corner strength are non-negotiable here. If a corner pops open during a bumpy truck ride, it isn't just a scratch.
It's a ruined rack.
It is a rejected delivery, and the incredibly expensive payload inside is compromised.
I was looking at the wiring diagrams in the engineering white papers, and they look entirely different from what I expected. I didn't see standard power cables, just these massive solid chunks of metal connecting everything. What is going on there?
Oh, those are copper bus bars, and they are replacing traditional cabling.
Why not just use cables?
When you run 54 volts of direct current into a single 1 megawatt rack, you're dealing with a lower voltage, which means massively higher current. Standard cables would literally melt under that load.
Oh my God.
So you have to use thick, solid copper bars to handle it. Running that setup requires up to 200 kilograms of copper for a single rack.
Wait, wait. If a single rack takes 200 kilograms, a 1 gigawatt data center would need a staggering 200,000 kilograms of copper just for the enclosure.
Just the enclosures, yeah.
When you realize you need that much material shaped into highly specific bus bars, you realize this isn't just an engineering problem. It is a mass manufacturing nightmare. How do you scale that without making mistakes?
That is the harsh reality of the supply chain. Fabricators don't usually lose money on the raw metal. They lose it on hidden process issues.
Like what?
Well, the true challenge isn't designing unit number one. It's making sure unit number one and unit number 4,000 are perfectly identical. Manual operations introduce batch variations based on who is holding the tool.
Ah, like welding.
Yeah. If you weld corners by hand, you have to grind them, polish them, and touch up the coating.
So you have to remove the human variance from the equation.
Which is why you use cold forming. Instead of welding, you bend the metal at room temperature using immense machine pressure.
And that works better.
It removes four labor operations per corner. More importantly, machine set cold forming, ensures identical geometry every single time.
Meaning your testing standards hold up across the entire production run.
Exactly.
So what does this all mean for you listening right now? Whether you're an investor tracking tech trends, an engineer, or just someone who uses AI, it is vital to realize that this seemingly infinite digital scaling has incredibly rigid physical bottlenecks.
It really does.
If a fabricator cannot answer basic questions up front, like confirming the exact sheet thickness or the transport loaded weight, an entire billion-dollar data center project is at risk.
Which raises an important question to leave you with.
Yeah, let's hear it.
If this limitless-seeming AI build-out is truly a sheet metal and copper story before it is a silicon story, well, how might the physical constraints of mining and manufacturing these very earthly materials ultimately dictate the speed of our digital future?